This is the last in our series. We've been doing this kind of series called The Almighty God, and it's looking at aspects of God that we might have figured out how does that kind of work together. So we talk about his the meekness of Christ at the same time as the majesty of him, what it means for us to be part of this community, at the same time understand the communion that we have with God. And today, to kind of wrap that up before we head into our Advent series, is this idea of being to know and be known. And it's this amazing thing where God desires us for us to know him and also be known by him. Now, when I was thinking about this, I was thinking, well, actually, what does it mean for someone to really know you? Like, what does it mean that someone really knows you? I remember, so my wife and I had this massive fight one year. It's probably about now like 8 years ago, maybe 10 years ago. And what happened was I was on eBay, and I was bidding for something, and it was this speaker. It was this Sonos Play 5 speaker, and they were pretty expensive, and I was bidding on eBay, and then I won. And I didn't tell my wife I was bidding for the speaker, and I didn't know I was going to win the bid, and I won this bid, and I had to buy the speaker. And I got the speaker, sent to my house, and I was listening to it, and the kids were loving it. They were listening to some internet radio station. It was really fun, and the kids were laughing. We were having a good time, and then my wife asked me, how much was that speaker? And I said, so-and-so price. And she said, what? You spent that much money on a speaker? I said, I love music. The kids are really happy. And she said, I don't even know who you are. How could you buy that without even checking with me? I was like, what do you mean you don't know who I am? And I was like, what's the big deal? I just bought this speaker. It's okay. And then I started realizing we all think we know someone. At the same time, we don't really know them. At the same time, the more you think about it, the more you think, actually, I don't even know myself. Like when I was younger, I hated Chinese mushrooms, I hated vegetables, and I hated exercise. I'm getting older, I love vegetables, I love Chinese mushrooms, and I think golf is an amazing sport. It's weird, right? Because when you're younger, you think, oh, I hate all these things. And you get older, you've changed. And it's the question, what does it really mean to know yourself? What does it really mean to know someone? What does it really mean to be in that way? The amazing thing about God is he desires to know us, and he desires us to know him. The thing about knowing someone is it doesn't mean God just understands your genetic makeup. It's true, he knows how many hairs on your head, and he knows how many we're losing each day. This knowledge, we sometimes think, well, if I know your genetics, or I know your background, or I know your history, I can know who you are. But actually, so much of knowledge or knowing someone is the time spent with them, the relationship that's formed, the understanding that comes from that. And so when God says that he wants us to know him and for us to be known by him, he is saying, I want to be involved in a relationship over time with you so that we know each other better. This is completely different than any other God out there which says, just worship me because I'm a big fat guy with really big earlobes. Or just worship me because I'm the God Almighty and so you must worship me. God is saying, I want you to know me. Not just in a textbook. I want you to really know who I am. I want you to walk with me in life. And so this idea that Jesus came, that God himself sent Jesus, who is God incarnate here on earth, to walk with his disciples, is this perfect picture of saying God saying, yeah, I want you to really know who I am, to see my life, to walk alongside that, to discover what it means to be truly known. So when we ask that question, you know, what does it mean for someone to know someone? Or what does it mean to be known by someone? We're asking, well, can I really know God? And can I really be known by God? See, the more I think about it, the more I think, realize, actually, we all really want someone to know us. When we talk about loneliness, or we talk about our spouses, or the people that we are around us, they don't really understand us or get us. We have this desire in us. I really want someone to know me, to understand what I'm like, to sympathize with me, to empathize with me, to go through the hard things in life with me. It's why if you've gone through something hard and you find someone else that's shared in that experience, you can come alongside them and say, I understand. I understand what you're going through. See, there's something so precious, so delightful, so intimate about knowing someone and being known by someone. That friendship where it's like, yeah, I really get you. You know, I really understand you. And I love being involved in this relationship with you. See, that is what God desires in this relationship with us. He desires for us to know him, and he desires for us to be known by him. See, Jesus, one of the first things he does, he's calling his disciples, and there's a scene where he's actually calling Philip and Nathaniel. And so Nathaniel's talking to his brothers, and Philip's all like, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth? I mean, it's horrible." Philip said to him, "Come and see, Jesus." And then Jesus saw Nathaniel coming towards him and said of him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed in whom there is no deceit." And Nathaniel said to him, "How do you know me?" And Jesus answered him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." And Nathanael answered, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." And Jesus answered him, "Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these." And he said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." So the scene is this. Philip is under this Nathanael's sitting under this tree, and Philip goes to him and says, "Hey, I met the Messiah. You got to come with me. We're going to go see him." And as they're walking, Jesus sees Nathanael and says, "Yeah, I know who you are." And Nathanael's like, "Oh, you must be God because you saw and you know who I am." And Jesus could have said, "Yep, I know everything about you. That's cool. All right, you just go back home and do your own thing." But actually what Jesus says is almost bizarre, right? He says, "You know, you think I know you because I saw you under the tree, and you didn't just Snapchat that story. I actually knew that you were there." And then he says, "Actually, Nathanael, you're going to see the heavens open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." In other words, Jesus is saying to Nathanael, "I know you, your life, your future better than you know yourself. I know who you are truly and deeply and powerfully. I know everything about who you were, where you're going, and what you're like." That is something so precious. And then he's saying to him, "Follow me. Come with me." See, we are never going to compare in knowing God the same way he knows us, because God is completely infinite. He knows everything. God knows. God knows you. He knows you above everything else. He knows everything of everything else. But he's saying, "I'm inviting you to come and know me, to walk alongside me, so that I can show you who you can really be." When I was growing up, I always wanted someone to mentor me, to show me, to take me to my full potential, right? I want to find a life coach that will say, "You know, this is Bert, you just do this and you'll be set for life." And I thought if I had that, my life would be so much simpler and I would just follow this easy path and just check off boxes, and it's like the Singapore government, and at some point I know exactly where I'm supposed to be doing. It's all clear. But the more you realize in life, it's so complex. So many things change. Technology has changed so much. Life is so complicated. How do you really know unless there is someone who is greater than all that, who is beyond our understanding, who is willing to be invested in your life in that way? When I heard these stories in Nepal, and we get these little snapshots of these pictures, what you don't realize is that God, in his perfection, in his personal relationship, knows each of those kids, each of those pastors, each of those guards guarding the prison. Not only that, he desires to know them personally, and he wants each of them to follow him, to know what it really means to have that fullness. In 1 Corinthians, it talks about this a little bit too. There's this passage that talks about love, and then at the end of it, Paul, as he's writing, he says, "For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then we'll see face to face." We'll see Christ face to face. "Now I know God in part, but then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known." In other words, Paul is saying, you know what? God knows me completely. But on earth, I am just continuing to learn about who he is. One of the greatest things about church is that you can keep learning about God. One of the great things about reading your Bible is you can keep learning about God. There is no limit to what you can learn about God in your experience, but also in your reading, in your knowledge of what he's like, but also in your experience of who he is. When we're young, we think, yeah, I know who God is. Yeah, Jesus died on the cross for our sins, blah, 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 blah. You know, the blood gives us sanctification. Or I've read more and more books. We think we know God. But actually, if God is infinite, we've not even begun to scratch the surface of who God is. If your life is not delighted and excited and wondrous and saying, God, you are greater and bigger than I thought, then you are limiting what God can speak into your life. This Nepal trip, same thing. These guys come back and say, realize, actually, our God is way bigger, way greater. You know, the things that I learned here that I thought were nothing, God used marvelously there. Our God is so much bigger. The reason I like for you guys to travel and see the world is to realize, actually, our God is so great and so big. The reason it's fine for us to wrestle with difficult questions like, what does God think about aliens or artificial intelligence, or what should we think about these things, is because God is not afraid of those answers. But he wants us to say, let us think about them, because our God is still bigger and greater than all of those things. In our process here on earth, we are knowing God more. And we are challenged to be reading more about him, to learn more about him, to say, God, actually show us more about what you're like and who you are. And we still know that God knows you. He really does know who you are. This author, William J. Mander, writes, God doesn't know what it is like to be me, for he knows me better than I know myself. God knows the true me, the person I really am. And that is a wonderful kind of picture. He knows the true you. Sometimes I feel very conflicted because I feel like, am I this or am I that? Am I what people think I am? Or what am I really like? The beauty of this is, if God knows the true you, he is inviting you to be on this journey with him, to discover and have that fullness unfolded. Finally, in Galatians, it says this, formerly when you did not know God, you were enslaved to those that by nature are not God's. But now that you have come to know God, or rather to be known by God, how can you turn back again to the weak and worthless elementary principles of the world, whose slaves you want to be once more? Like that phrase in the middle, right? It seems to me not make a lot of sense. But now that you have come to know God, or rather to be known by God, like, why does he say that? Obviously, God knows who we are. What does it mean to be known by God? Was it like I was hiding in a corner and then I popped out and said, hey, God. Oh, God said, oh, there you are. I know who you are now. It's not like this. But there is something special about that phrasing, to be known by God, which invites relationship. Once you were not in this relationship with God, but now you are. To be known by someone is this invitation to have access into that person's life. I might know some of you, but if I say, I want to really be known by you, it's like, I want to know what really goes on in your life. And the deeper that goes, the more honest, the more transparent that becomes. To be known by God is really saying, God, I want you to know me more. I don't want to hide anything from you. At the same time, it's being known by God is this precious thing. It is being recognized by him. It's being accepted by him. It's being acknowledged. It's being received by him. It's being embraced by him. It's being authorized by him. It's being adopted by him. It's why the word uses things like, why the Bible uses words like citizenship or ambassador or beloved or friends or children, because it's saying, I know you. You are known by God. He knows not just your name, he knows your true name, he knows your life. It's so precious to be known by God. And that verse is saying, if you are known by God, how can you go back to the old way of life? J.I. Packer says, there is unspeakable comfort in being known by God. See, this passage, when it goes on, it says, if you have been known by God, how can you go back to the old ways of life? How can you turn back into the old ways of doing things? You know, how can you go back to your old thinking of being judgmental, of being proud, or being arrogant when you stand before God knowing, wow, actually, God knows everything about my life. He knows who I really am. Why do I think I'm so much better than this other person? Or how can I judge them? Or I can condemn them? God, you know me. I've been received by you. Let me walk in your new way of life. When you are a child of his grace, how can you go back to your old life any longer? you know what that's like, that temptation to keep thinking. So I will say yesterday, I'll give you a perfect example. Yesterday we had a wonderful farewell party for our dear and beloved friends and family members, James and Christina and their family. And as I was sharing with them and I was talking with them and praying and I was about to pray for them, my nose started bleeding, like shooting blood out onto my shirt. It's as awkward as it can get. And I'll tell you why. I'm pretty sure this is the reason why. But just earlier that evening, I went into that garage, and there was a whole case of Coke. Not that kind of Coke, and that's not why my nose was bleeding. Coca-Cola. So I have not drunk Coca-Cola for a long time because it's like, look, I know it's bad for you. I know it's horrible for your teeth. I know it's a lot of sugar. I know it also makes me have a sore throat and feel eat hay, even though some of you don't believe that's real. I saw that can of Coke, and I thought, oh, I really want to drink that Coke. And so I took a can, and some friend of mine said, let me open that for you. This sense sounds worse and worse. Okay, I'm confessing now. And I knew as I was about to drink that, Bert, you're going back to your old way of life. You know that you are too old to be drinking these kind of drinks nowadays. That's why you order, you know, water all the time. Don't do it. And yet, I chose the old way of life. And later on, the Lord said, see, now look, you're going to have a bloody nose. I'm going to make a mess. And it's really funny because that happens to us all the time. Not exactly the same. But where we look at something in our old life, in our old thinking, that seems attractive or delicious, and we go back to that way. And afterwards, you regret it. You know you regret it because you're like, oh, I feel so bad. Oh, how did I get in this mess? How did I end up in this situation? And God is saying, I told you so. You know, I know who you are. I know what's best for you. Trust me. And we turn back to that old way. When we think about our lives, when we think about the broken friendships we have or the frustrations or even sometimes the way we study and procrastinate and put off things, we are actually saying, God, you prompted my heart so many times, and yet I know you know me. And I still said, just like Peter, I don't know who you are. I deny you, and I'm just going to do my own thing. See, we cannot be doing that. If we are a child of grace and you really know God, it is this thing saying, let me have that freedom. Let me know that meaning, that purpose, that hope, that grace, and don't go back to the old way of life. Our challenge is actually to be known more by God, to discover what it means to be more and more honest and open about the struggles, the challenges that we have, and say, God, know me more in this. Know me more in my insecurity, in my fear, in my desires, in what's going forward in my life. At the same time, know more of God. God, I want to know more of who you are. The last question for us before we come into a time of worship is this. Do you know God? Do you really know who he is? If you don't, if this is your first time hearing about God, today's the day you say, actually, God, I want to know you. I want to know the true and living God. I want to start. I don't want to just hear this. I want to know you. During the worship, just pray a prayer. Just say, God, let me start today. I want to know you. I want to know what it means. I want to be a Christian. The second thing is, do you want to be known by him? To be brought into his family to say, yeah, actually, God, I belong to you. Open up the lives and the parts of your life that you are still keeping off from him. Say, God, know me more. Know my fears. Know my doubts. And lead me in your way. Shall we pray? Lord Jesus, we thank you so much because you have indeed offered the opportunity for us to know you. You could have just been a distant God sitting on some throne out there like Thanos or whatever, but you chose to be a God who desires to draw near to us. Even though we don't deserve it, your goodness and your grace and your mercy compel us to be in your family. Lord, will you continue to speak as we worship? Will you continue to speak into our hearts to say that actually now is the time to really be drawn into your family, to begin this journey with you? And for the things that we have been holding back, Lord, we put those down at the foot of the cross now and say, Jesus, know us more. It is a joy to be known by you. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's come and worship.